Hey there, friends of Holy Shenanigans Podcast. I'm thrilled to share that I'll be recording live from the Wild Goose Festival this July 11 through 14. Wild Goose Festival is a transformational community grounded in faith-inspired social justice. It's a one-of-a-kind gathering that brings together activists, artists, and seekers from all walks of life to explore justice and art, spirituality, and community. The festival will take place at Van Hoy Farms in Union Grove, North Carolina, and I'd love for you to join me there. From engaging workshops to inspired panels and interactive experiences, Wild Goose has something for everyone. So mark your calendars and let's be part of this incredible community that is committed to making a positive impact in the world. For more information, visit www.wildgoosefestival.org. As one of my followers, use a discount code A-TLE24. That's A-TLE24. And you'll get $50 off the price of an adult weekend ticket. We will see you there at the Wild Goose Festival to connect, to build community, and to work for social justice. Welcome to Holy Shenanigans. I'm your muse, Tara Lamont Eastman, a poet, a pastor, and a podcaster. In the HSP neighborhood, we encourage the spiritual practice of looking and listening for the sacred in everyday life. This is what we call Holy Shenanigans. It's week 6 of Lent, and this week's gospel story from Luke 1 tells a story of impossible things. In the midst of everyday life, Mary is greeted by the angel Gabriel. Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you. What begins as an angelic visitation becomes an invitation to carry, bear, and birth the Christ child. How could this impossible thing be? Her relative Elizabeth, though, well beyond the age to conceive a child, was now 6 months into a miraculous pregnancy. Elizabeth was in body experiencing something impossible, and perhaps, just maybe, the invitation of the angel Gabriel was not as impossible as she first thought. What is Mary's response to Gabriel's impossible ask? She remembers Elizabeth and that nothing is impossible with God. And so, Mary courageously consents to this impossible request and says, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." I'm always amazed by Mary's courage to say yes to the impossible, which inspires me to sometimes say yes to the impossible too. Once upon a Holy Shenanigans season of life that seemed impossible, I was introduced to St. Patrick's breastplate prayer. The full prayer is over 2 pages long, so I abbreviated it to make it more portable to carry with me under lots of changing and unexpected circumstances of life. That prayer kind of goes like this. Christ before me, Christ behind me, to my left and to my right, Christ within me, Christ about me, all the day into the night. The gifts of this prayer were peace and a sense of comfort in times of change. This little prayer helped me come to spaces of gratitude, little things, or one good thing to be grateful for each day. This Lenten series here at Holy Shenanigans Podcast, we continue to talk about gratitude and how it impacts our daily life in surprising ways. Perhaps gratitude is a gift that helps us see that things are possible with the help of God, with the help of love. Consider the coming conversation an invitation to think more deeply about why gratitude matters to you in the face of impossible things. Hi there, friends of Holy Shenanigans podcast. This is Tara Lamont Eastman, and I am excited to be continuing my Lenten gratitude journey. And in today, I am very grateful to have Minister of Music, David Horn, with me. And David is the Minister of Music here at Jamestown First Presbyterian. Thank you so much, David, for being here with us.
Thank you for having me, Tara.
You're welcome. You're welcome. So as I've talked about a lot over the past several weeks of Lent, I keep bringing up gratitude and why gratitude practices are important to me. It came out of a period of time in my life where I needed to have one good thing to focus on because there were so many other things that were not going so well.
Okay.
And so it's something that I've continued to carry with me as a spiritual practice for many years now. And I am grateful, again, for that you're here with us today. And I'm grateful for all the wonderful music that you bring to this congregation. But I'm wondering if you have an experience of gratitude or a reason perhaps why gratitude is important to you.
Well, I think lots of little things and a few big things. As you know, I moved up here in 2018 to help give care to my dad. Mm-hmm. So we share the same living space. And he was the one who found my job here at First Press. And he sent me the link and he says, maybe you should just look into this. And so I did, and I got hired, and I'm very grateful. As I told the congregation on Sunday, you know, when I came up here, I really just thought, well, this is really just a job. Mm-hmm. But I come to see this community as the beloved community that really gives me a kind of an extra purpose with my life. And so I think I'm really grateful for that.
Wow. That's a wonderful. Yeah, it's really great to see how your relationship with your dad and in that helping relationship, you know, he is reciprocating and helping you get this job or not to get this job, but to, you know, let you know about it.
He might have gotten me the job. He's well known.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. We can never say no to the support we can get along the way.
The Reverend Dr. Nelson Horn is well known in these parts.
Yes, yes, yes. So thank you, David's dad. Because we wouldn't be having this fun conversation today without him. So we're grateful to him as well. Have you ever in your life, I mean, you've talked about how gratitude is already important to you in regards to your vocation as a minister of music. But have you ever in a particularly challenging time leaned into any kind of particular spiritual practice? Or is music that space for you?
Well, I think music has always been the primary vehicle. And I will say, I think I've leaned in more to spiritual practices since coming to this church than in any other church I've been in. Hmm. I certainly have had those experiences in other churches, but it's felt more personal and more palpable since I came to First Presbyterian, actually.
Wow.
So this is relatively recent for me.
Nice. Yeah. I love how you say that for you, this is your beloved community.
Well, I think that was the first phrase that came to mind when I was thinking about how I was going to address the congregation last Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that's wonderful. And so we are talking today
it is your birthday. So happy birthday to you, David.
Yeah.
It is also St. Patrick's Day. And as you come from an Irish background.
Somewhat.
Yeah. Yes.
Scotch-Irish, we call it. But I definitely have some Irish ancestry.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things that, so I have Irish folks in my background and Welsh and Scottish, a lot of similar connections with you. But something that is really important to that those cultures is poetry.
Yes.
And song.
Yes.
And beloved community. And so we are here today to talk a little bit more about a poem that is important to you. And because it also connects with the season of Lent that we're in, correct?
Exactly. Very much so.
So why don't you tell us about this poem?
Well, all right. What happened was, first of all, for your listeners, they need to know that you got COVID just, was it a week
Two
ago?
2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago.
2 weeks
yesterday.
Ago.
Yeah. And you called me at the church, and it's Thursday, and I wasn't panicking, but I was thinking, oh, boy. Now what do I do? And then I thought, you know what? It's going to be easier for me to just do this myself than to try and find somebody and pin them down, find out what the prayers are going to be and what reading they'd like to use. So I decided I was going to preach the sermon. And as soon as I did that, I remembered a conversation I had had only a day or two before, I think, with one of our congregants who was just saying, you know, she didn't really get why we get so caught up in things like Lent. Now, the backdrop to this is, as one of my other friends has told me, Presbyterians basically like what they call regular church, what we sometimes call ordinary time. And they understand that Lent is a season of the year, like Advent and like Christmas. But this person's particular concern was is that it seemed like when Lent came, we were all supposed to be really sad and downcast, and we were supposed to go around with ragged clothes on and and just be really sorry. And I thought about that, and I thought, now, is that really what Lent's supposed to be about? And then I remembered this poem that I encountered a long time ago when I was in a choir in Washington, D.C., and I did not know the poet Robert Herrick.
Okay.
But he is a 17th century poet who was a cleric, who was one of the original Carpe Diem poets, Seize the Day. And he wrote that poem, Gather Ye Rosebuds While Ye May, Old Time Is Still A-Flying, and This Same Flower That Smiles Today, Tomorrow Will Be Dying.
Which
I don't know if everybody knows that, but those lines were pretty familiar to me. And so I went looking for this poem, and then I realized this was, I was going to be able to make this into kind of the focal point of my sermon. And I just think it tells the story much better than I could. What's the whole big deal about Lent?
Well, I am curious to hear. I have some of my own ideas about that, but I would like to hear from this poet of the day.
All right. Well, this is called, and keep in mind that, you know, the backdrop, as I said, was what people's kind of expectations of what Lent is supposed to be. And, you know, I grew up understanding that, well, the Catholics don't eat meat on Friday. They have fish, and I never I thought fish sticks were great, so I didn't see what that was supposed to be representative of. But I think Robert Herrick wades into that a little bit with this poem. It's called To Keep a True Lent. Is this a fast to keep the larder lean and clean from fat of veals and sheep? Is it to quit the dish of flesh, yet still to fill the platter high with fish? Is it a fast, an hour or ragged to go, or show a downcast look and sour? No, 'tis a fast to dole thy sheaf of wheat and meat unto the hungry soul. It is to fast from strife, from old debate and hate, to circumcise thy life, to show a heart grief-rent, to starve thy sin, not bin. And that's to keep thy Lent.
Thank you.
There you go.
Thank you. Well, and I think this poem connects with a gratitude practice because he's lifting up the work of the soul in this time, the enrichment of the soul, enrichment of spiritual life. That's how I hear him.
And I think one of the things he does that to me is interesting, but I think really gets at where I was hoping to go with all of this, is when he says to starve thy sin, the sin he focuses on is strife and hatred.
Correct. Yeah.
Old debate, old animosities and vendettas. And I like to think, I don't think necessarily that other so-called sins are any less or more important, but I think it's interesting that that's where he goes first. And the truth is, I think if you are able to successfully starve that sin, you won't have a whole lot of time to do other things that probably aren't all that good for you.
Right.
Because
right.
It's kind of a full-time job, isn't it, to be working at not letting yourself just get all bent out of shape about stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So like I told you, you know, the focusing on the one good thing, right?
Yes.
That was life-saving for me in a time where there was a lot of bad around.
Is that something that we should go into a little more, or is that for another day?
I've talked about it before on the podcast, but it was, and actually just a few weeks ago, I just talked about how I was in a time of great change, and there were all sorts of questions about how I was going to do what was before me and cover my bills and stay in connection with family, and achieve the goal that I had set before me, and had been set before me, in the process of ordination.
Oh.
It was like this, I was almost to the finish line of all of the education and all of these things. And then all of a sudden, a very sharp turn to go a little bit different, quite a bit different direction, which there was so much change in that time.
Wow.
And it made it very hard at times to see the one good thing.
Got it.
And to not also carry in my heart angst or bitterness for those that impacted that change.
Yes.
You know, and so the one good thing to starve the bitterness was really found in looking for one thing to be grateful for each day.
Right. Got it.
Yeah.
Notice how I cleverly turned myself into the interviewer.
Yes,
there.
You did a very good job, David. You did a very good job of being the interviewer.
I sometimes think maybe that's more where my comfort level is. No, I think that this idea of finding gratitude in little things, I think, is really important.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it's always easy, because when you are in a bad mood for whatever reason, you can't find good in anything.
Right.
And I think that's, is that sinful behavior, or is that just counterproductive to your ends? Maybe in the final analysis, it doesn't much matter. If you can find your way to that other place where you can say, okay, I think I can see why this doesn't have to be the worst day of my life. Sometimes that's the best you can do.
Mm-hmm.
But to keep you from going into that other place, which is just yelling at cars in traffic and getting all wound up about something somebody said, and all those other little things that are part of, you know, I think daily existence, but can, I think can change your outlook and can make, and they work against gratitude. So finding that they both kind of work both ways.
Well, and I hear gratitude in what you're sharing, but I also hear the power of forgiveness.
I think that's kind of central to what we do, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that, to me, is one of the things I think I started to learn more when I got to this church than in other places. How to not so much feeling forgiven as feeling how empowering it is when I actually am able to, even though I don't necessarily want to.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
Although I'm sure I've had to be forgiven for a whole lot of things I didn't even know about.
The things we know and the things we don't. That's somewhere in our confession most every Sunday.
I think so. Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Well, David, thank you so much for taking time out on your birthday and St. Patrick's Day to have this conversation about gratitude and forgiveness and starving those things that would keep us from joy and connection and beloved community. It's an important message in our world today. And I thank you for sharing
it. You say that so much better than I did, actually.
You know, we all have ways of saying things, and every way I think is your way is good, and so is mine.
Okay.
We can work on those things together. We can work on those things together. If you were to give one last bit of advice or a message that you'd like to share with our listeners on this your birthday and St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, boy.
What would be like the short statement that might give people a moment to pause to perhaps forgive themselves or to forgive somebody else?
Oh, you know, now you're asking me to think on my feet here. It's tempting to resort to catchphrases. We've talked about this one, which I think is actually really meaningful for me, and that is that it is a blessing to be able to be a blessing.
Yeah.
But like I say, sometimes you don't always find yourself in a place where you can really feel that or believe it. But I think every time you make a commitment to not going there, even though you want to not be just a little bit annoyed with your spouse because he or she is late once again. Mm-hmm. Every time you make that decision to reinforce that commitment, I think you find a little bit more of that person inside of you that's probably always been there, but that not everybody has always gotten to see.
Mm, yeah. Kind of trying to find that treasure. Like that pot of gold, but in an everyday way.
I think so. I think it's got to be every day.
Yeah. Yes. And so to our listeners, thank you so much for joining us for this always sacred, never stuffy journey that we call Holy Shenanigans. May your St. Patrick's Day be blessed with forgiveness and hope and the pot of gold that is really love for God, love for neighbor, and love for self. All throughout the season of Lent, we're talking about the power
of gratitude. And we are grateful to you, the HSP podcast listening audience. Since HSP started 2 years ago, we've achieved over 19,000 downloads or listens to the podcast. Before the end of the Lenten season, it's our hope to reach a listening goal of 20,000 downloads. To help us meet this goal, we invite you to share a favorite podcast episode with a friend. To find Holy Shenanigans podcast, you can just use your favorite podcast app, or you can go to our host web address at holyshenanigans.buzzsprout.com. Another way to help with this labor of love, by making a contribution to our production costs by way of www.buymeacoffee.com/Tara L. Eastman. Thank you for joining us in an always sacred but not stuffy adventure and being a fellow holy shenanigator.
I'm your Holy Shenanigans Muse, Tara Lamont Eastman. Thank you for joining us this week for Holy Shenanigans that surprise, encourage, redirect, and turn life upside down, all in the name of love. This is an unpredictable spiritual adventure that is always sacred, but never stuffy. Gratitude to this week's guest, David Horn, Minister of Music at Jamestown First Presbyterian Church. And to Ian Eastman for sound editing. Until next time, let's keep looking for one good thing to be grateful for. You never know, it might lead to an impossible, beautiful thing.